Thomas Brown. Thus says the Lord to his prophet, as the snow and the rain come down from heaven and return not to the earth with water, making seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that for which I have sent it, and succeed in the purposes I direct. The Lord, that this will happen today for your servant. Amen. 12 years. Do you remember what you were doing 12 years ago? The end of June 2003? I looked it up. In our family, my older daughter, Laura, had just graduated from Heritage High School, was on her way listening, waiting for word from UW. My younger daughter dragged her mother and me to Barnes & Noble the Friday night to be there at midnight when the first edition of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix came out. And we had a little puppy in our house named Kona that chewed off the knob in my wife's desk. In the world, it's a different story. We were just a few months into the invasion of Iraq and still looking for weapons of mass destruction. Katharine Hepburn had died. And the Federal Trade Commission came out with this brand new thing that's going to solve all our problems called the Do Not Call List. In our church, we were gearing up for Vacation Bible School. And Susan Jared was running the undersea adventure and called the first of what would be 5 meetings beforehand. We had almost 50 people in our brand new contemporary worship service at 6 p.m. And Dave Rush and I had just returned from the district convention in Portland. What I didn't know this day, 12 years ago, was that at the end of the month, paychecks, our automatic payroll people, would really mess up giving me my pay, and all these automatic withdrawals would happen, and we would end up with $320 worth of overdraft charges. 12 years. In some ways, it seems so long ago. In others, barely yesterday. In the gospel lesson that I just read, for one particular lady, it was far too long. She had been bleeding continually every single day for 12 years. She had exhausted all her finances on doctors and cures, all to no avail. She was so desperate, she turned to Jesus. For another individual, this one, the synagogue ruler, 12 years was far too short. That's how old his little girl was. And she was dying. So he too was so desperate, he turned to Jesus. Both of them, the same day, after 12 years. You know, this splicing together of two different and very single stories that we have in our gospel lesson really fascinates me. Mark goes to considerable lengths to show how these two individuals are linked. I mean, both needing healing, are female. They both are, in the ways of their time, socially shunned. They couldn't be unclean because of either blood or corpses. No one could be around them. Both received this miraculous, outside-the-box healings. And they both wound up being grateful recipients of Jesus' promise. Don't be afraid. Just trust me. And of course, there's that 12 years that connects them. After having tried everything but Jesus, exhausting every other possible option, they both come and demand his attention at exactly the same time. And Jesus doesn't seem to mind at all. I think that's the big lesson here. Not the healing, although that's pretty cool, but how they approach Jesus. So I'm going to do something a little bit different with this sermon today. Most of the time when I'm preaching, I'm kind of directed to you, your lives, and what you're going through. I try to make it so it's impact in some way, taking the Bible, making it relevant to where you are here and now. But today, the focus isn't really so much on what I'm going to say to you, as much as it'll be on what you can say to someone else. You see, I'm going to assume by you being here, you know how to approach Jesus. That taking it to the Lord in prayer is not just the line of some hymn, but it's actually a way of life. I'm going to assume that what you heard about Jesus, his love and his healing power, and his way he intervenes in some of the human problems we have in this world is good news, but old news. And yet, I'm going to assume that there's also a very good chance, in fact, it's kind of what I take to the Lord in prayer a lot, that every one of you might run into someone who doesn't know that. Run into those who are suffering from the same thing year after year after year. Those who are helplessly forced to just stand by while a loved one goes through hell. Those who don't know where to turn. Those who've given up. Those who are angry when others stand in their way. I want to direct what you might be able to say to them about the readiness of Jesus to let them approach him so he can heal them, whatever it's called. Because it's all here. We can take a lesson from this lesson and learn from what these people go through and then maybe be able to share it with those going through the same kind of thing. To learn from the woman. Between diseases, doctors, and her debts, she's not only suffered for years, she's actually gotten worse. And her approach to Jesus is simple faith at its very best. She heard about him. She came to him. She touched him. Why the secrecy? Maybe she didn't want to bother him. Maybe she was embarrassed about the nature of her sickness. Maybe she knew she had no reason to expect him to know or care about her at all, much less do anything for her. But she decided none of that mattered. She just believed that Jesus had the power to cure her. And so she just reached out and took it. And immediately, her bleeding stopped. She could feel it. So could Jesus. And he looks around at this crowd jostling in every nook and cranny, and he says, "Who touched me?" And there's a moment of silence. Can you just imagine the gamut of emotions running through this lady that she experienced in such a small fragment of time? She goes from hope to determination to immediate blessed relief to happiness and then to fear and then guilt and then shame and then devastation when Jesus stops and is looking for her and she knows who the culprit is when she's called out to face the music only to have all those other emotions morph into absolute joy when the music she faces is Jesus singing her a lullaby. Daughter, the only time Jesus calls anyone that. Daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Or we can learn from the Father, too. Jairus, a well-known ruler of the synagogue, is called. This was an administrative position. The guy who, it's not a rabbi or priest, but the guy who actually ran the place. It was a prestigious position in the community and in the religion. It was up to him to make sure everything went smoothly and well. So imagine how conflicted he is. Because here's this Jesus, a wandering preacher, who goes around disregarding the Sabbath, riling up the Pharisees, saying things like, I know it is written, but here's what I say to you, but he can heal. He's proven that. There's some sort of authority. That even though he verges on blasphemy, there's some sort of power for it work. And so for Jairus, turning to Jesus meant turning his back on some of the many things he held dear. His pride and his dignity. Mark says he runs, throws himself to the ground at Jesus' feet. He turns his back to his own belief. Because he had to ask himself over and over again, is he a heretic or is he from God? And he turns his back to his career. You know, when the elders heard about this, would he be able to keep his job? Jairus threw all that aside when he threw himself at Jesus' feet. Now, having gone that far, having cut off and burned all his bridges, imagine all the feelings then going through him at that moment. He willingly sacrifices his reputation, his respect, his religion, and it works. Jesus is coming to his house. Jesus has agreed to heal his child. And they're on their way. Only to be interrupted by this woman. Detained just long enough so that by the time Jesus gets to his house, it's too late. Imagine inside of him the anger, the frustration, the sadness, the resignation, the despair, and then this irrational hope, because Jesus is still going. And he says, putting his hands on his shoulders and saying, don't be afraid, just trust me. So here in my mind, I picture this guy just numbly following Jesus to his own home, which I'll point out is always a good thing to do. And he's looking around almost in third person, taking in the crowds, Jesus' disciples, the professional mourners in his own parlor room, until they're all shut out. And it's just the six of them gathered around his daughter's bedside, where she lay still as death, watching Jesus take her hand. And again, all these other emotions morph into unbelievable joy as he hears Jesus say, get up, little girl. Only the one who is uplifted is dead. Earlier, I alluded to the hymn, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. Maybe we should have sang that for the sermon instead of hindsight, pretty good. But we know the song. We know the words. And we know that the words are true. And we can take it to the Lord in prayer. That he knows our every weakness. That he is a friend that we have all time. We know that. But there are others out there who don't. Not yet. Maybe they're still within that 12-year window. Now, if the opportunity ever presents itself, and I pray it does, tell them that they can approach Jesus. Tell them that he is their friend. Tell them that he answers every care, even if you have to sing it. That they can always take it to the Lord in prayer. Learn from a lady who, after 12 years of suffering, furtively touches him in faith. Or learn from a dad who turns his back on everything else so that his 12-year-old daughter will get better. Jesus wants to be approached. Even if you've turned everywhere else before turning to him. Even if you don't really believe at first. Even if you go through a whole range of less than noble emotions in the process, even if you think you have to take what he's so willing to give, he wants you to come to him. Maybe you can sing another hymn too, that works too. That Jesus sinners will receive. That's the best news that you could ever share. no matter what. The message Jesus wants the entire world to hear and take to heart, his own message, don't be afraid, just trust me. Imagine how wonderful it would be if you get to be the one who shifts. I pray that opportunity. Now with the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the life everlasting. Amen.